Action Park Media.
The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Hi, Scout.
Hi, babes.
Hi, babes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Stop coming, babe. We're turning into the same person.
We're just going to... Our fucking partners are going to be like, stop fucking hanging out with each other. I feel like I'm hanging out with Danielle. I feel like I'm hanging out with Scout.
What is that sound you always do when I hear our episodes back? I always crack up because you always go like, no. Nah!
Or
like,
oh my God, my laugh
really
too.
Bah! Bah, yes, bah! Yes. So I love it.
Laugh too, man. I'm always laughing. It's
man,
like,
there's the other one, man. Like, so, what do we have? What are our like hashtags? It's like, bitch,
story time.
What else?
Babe, apparently, everybody. Babe.
Hi, babe. What else?
Do you have any?
No, it's all of you.
All the shit's like,
it's all you, babe.
I think I just say stuff weird. I just do. I'm just like, I'm like, if I was like a fucking arcade game, that's what I am. Like, kids would be like, ah, say it again, do it again.
I love it.
Ugh, just big personality. Homeschooled personality over here. No filter.
No,
weirdo.
It's good. No, I don't think you're weirdo. I love it.
Yeah?
I love that there's no filter. Fuck yeah. What do we need to be filtered for?
That's true.
Always talk about this. Like, everyone, yeah, no, just fucking be you. Just be you. I love you for you. I don't give a fuck about what anybody thinks.
Yeah, that's good.
Fuck them.
Yeah,
fuck
be yourself. Be you.
I was noticing this lady and getting in her car this morning at McDonald's. Yesterday morning at McDonald's, not this morning. Yesterday morning at McDonald's. And she had like crazy colored hair.
Fuck
and
yeah.
like crazy colored clothes. And her car was all like purple. You know, the purple people.
Yeah.
And like everything's purple.
Yeah.
Purple and pink and the rainbow and da da da. And I was like, you go, girl.
Oh, totally.
You just do you.
Yeah.
Like, this makes you happy. And I know people are probably judging her, being like, what is this fucking chick's weird with all this shit. But oh, well.
Dude, I used to be so different. I mean, I went through my gothic phase.
Yes, I remember.
You know?
Yeah.
So I like, I got used to that feeling of like not giving a fuck what people like thought of you.
I mean, when I'm
that's gonna
the
be
beach,
me when I'm old too. I'm gonna be shaved head or dreads or something when
something.
I have a kid.
Something.
You know what I did watch though? Because there's like a happy medium, right? Like, there's a happy medium. Like, I was watching on TikTok, I was watching these gothic makeovers.
Oh.
Where these people would make like super
take
gothic
off and make you
make it like
normal,
I guess, whatever. Like tattoos, like split tongues, like weird, like super, super gothic.
Okay.
And then they would change them. And there was this one woman that had a daughter and she was young. She was like 4 years old. And both their parents were like
they had never seen their parents.
She got so scared. She got so scared when she saw her mommy without any of her tattoos and her like lip piercings and all that stuff. She got terrified.
I've seen that on too when like dads shave their beards.
Oh yeah.
And they've never seen their dad. Like, it's frightening.
Have your kids haven't seen without David having a beard, right?
It's been really, really, really short.
Okay.
And they didn't even like pay attention.
Really?
No.
What if it was gone? Would he ever shave his beard?
Only one time he's shaved it all off. Before we got married, just right before we got married,
do
just
you like
so
his
I could
beard or
see.
Do you want him to shave
no,
it?
I like it. I like his beard. I like it short and cleanly trimmed.
Yeah,
the big beard. I am not into the big beard.
It's the same thing with Tom too. I always am like, I like it like just maintained.
Just maintain, just clean it. Otherwise, it's
just
like,
maintain, man. That's
it's still nice and clean and it smells good. And even though it's long and
it
gross,
also itches.
But,
itches. Like, I want to cuddle you and like not like in my forehead.
I'm
itching.
Not. Yeah, I don't want.
You know,
it's like pubes.
Ah!
Cubes. And David has a straightener. Like, you know, there's like a beard straightener.
What?
Yeah. It's
Is
like
there really?
It's a brush that heats up and you brush it and it makes it straight. But it smells. They literally last night I came in and I was like, what is that smell?
He was straightening his beard?
Yeah, before he was getting ready to go out. I was like, what is that smell? It smells like something's burning. What's burning? What's burning in the house? And he was like, this is my hair beard straightener.
Pause.
I was like, this is gross. God bless you. See, it's true. You know, that's a superstition. Do you have any superstitions?
Oh my God, you guys heard my little baby sneeze.
Baby sneeze. You have a baby sneeze.
It's because I trained myself to have a baby sneeze because I was a loud, like super, super loud. And I used to get made fun of as a kid. Like, triggers.
Speaking of not judging yourself.
Yes.
Of not judging other people. So now you don't fucking, can you, next time you sneeze, I want you to let it rip.
I'll try.
Just do it.
I'll try to do it. It'll probably come.
Just do it. I want to hear it. I want you to give it. Just fucking do it.
Well, you know how loud I am of a screamer. Like, of course it's going to be, it's loud. I've been doing that for so long.
But you know what, though? I don't think I've ever heard you scream in real life.
You ready?
No, you're not going to do it.
I'd do it.
No way.
No? Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus. We'd have to back away from the mics. Our poor engineer's like,
fuck off.
You guys.
Oh my God, it's so funny. Like, when I'm
because you were never screaming with me on set. You were like, Annie. Like, you never screamed. Because all your screaming was
I've never heard you scream in real life.
It's weird, right?
Wow.
Everyone listening to this is like, please scream. Please scream. We should have a scream off. So we're going to have an ADR off, a foot off, and a scream off.
Okay. We'll do that in our, should we tell them what we're going to do?
Yeah, we should.
Yes.
Because it's probably going to be right after this episode airs.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So we it's going to be on a Tuesday. So we're going to do Talk Scary to Me After Dark.
Yes.
I'm not going to give you the exact date yet because we got to work some final details out, but it'll be probably a 2-hour evening.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
We're going to do a pajama party and invite you
alcohol.
Guys.
Scout's going to be drunk.
I might be high. I'm just saying.
Oh!
We're going to sell tickets and you guys can hopefully have your questions and interact and do a whole.
That's going to be so fun.
We're working out how we can actually do it because we've never done it before.
I also want to see people's faces. Like when people are submitting questions and stuff, it's like, I want to know what do you look like?
Do they want you to see what they look like though?
Maybe they're scared. We'll see. But
I just want to hear it. I want to have the conversation. I want a person to talk to. So we get call-ins and, we'll have some special guests. We might have our partners on to talk about how we are from the other side of the bed. We need to have some of our girlfriends on. We need to have a really cool special.
It's going to be a cool
celebrity
special.
Guest. We should just we need to do it. We're going to do it right.
It'll be cool.
So stay tuned.
Every 30 minutes, we'll have someone come in.
Or less.
Oh, that's a lot.
It'll be ding dong.
That's a lot bang. We're going to do this again, y'all.
I think our partners should be one.
Partners,
but you know,
for sure.
Can you guys help us with something? Mm-hmm. We are in love and obsessed with Tyler Henry.
We talk about him
all the time.
Mm-hmm. I've written him because I love him so much.
I wrote him years ago saying I would love to get a reading from you. I'll do anything.
Same.
I just really want to know how my dad died, you know? So if he comes through, you know. Anyway, so if anyone has any connections or knows Tyler Henry or how to get in touch with him, Scout and I would be forever indebted and grateful to you. And it would just make my heart so happy. I don't know how to get a hold of him. He's not answering my DMs.
He's not answering mine either.
I'm trying to slide into the DM and he's not interested.
The only men that we will slide into their DMs is this man. Oh, honestly,
so
I love
you guys
him.
Can help us. Maybe somebody knows him.
By the way, I didn't start this, so that's funny.
Okay.
You asked me to do one thing and I forget it. I always forget it.
You were just talking about
it
on another episode with your boyfriend.
I know, you remind me to remember something.
I'm
terrible. I'm that person that doesn't remember shit. I'm absolutely terrible. All right, do you have a sex question over there?
I do. Let's read a sex question.
Let's do it.
Let me get my glasses on, folks. Okay. Okie dokie. We should have merch by then, too.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're going to have hats because, you know, fucking Scout and I cannot go without wearing a hat.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
This is Danielle's hat. Hello? Yeah. I borrowed it.
I just took this from our producers. Okay. So this is, I'm not going to say your name just because you'll know who you are, just in case. Hi, guys. Loving the podcast and enjoy how open you guys have been with us all. So much that it makes me feel comfortable enough to open myself up to you about what's going on right now. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm hoping to get some advice about my relationship. And I would like to remain anonymous. Oh, good. I'm glad I didn't say her name.
Yeah, good.
There are a couple things that I'd like to get your guys' opinions on if you have the time to give advice on both. Yes, okay. We have.
Yeah,
the time.
We do.
I've been with my boyfriend for almost 3 years, and we've worked together for about that long as well. He will do just about anything for me. Always there when I need him, never fails to make me smile. I've never felt this way about anyone before, and I've never been treated as good as I have been by him. Everything is great, but at the same time, it might not be because there are things that are concerning me.
Uh-oh.
There is a big age gap between us, and I'm starting to wonder if this could be an issue. He's been going through a divorce for about 2 years. And it would have been done, but COVID happened. We've kept our relationship on the down low for a while. Some of my family knows about us, and it's fine and is fine with it. As far as my parents, my dad is okay with it, but my mom says that she will never accept it because of how much older he is. Until he is divorced and has the papers, he doesn't want anyone at work or his family to know about us. He says he doesn't want anyone saying anything bad about either one of us. I've tried to tell him that it doesn't matter and people are gonna think what they want to think regardless. For so long, I've wanted the secret out in the open and I've been more than patient, but I can't help but wonder if he's embarrassed by me lying about getting a divorce or if he's truly worried about what people would say before he has the papers.
Oh, no.
When I ask him, he says he cares about me too much, doesn't want people to get the wrong idea about us. Every time I bring it up, he's calm and nice about it, but if we stay on the topic for too long, he starts to show anger. Another issue is he's a workaholic. I am as well, but not by choice. Work has always been something he has enjoyed doing. He's ex-military and suffers from PTSD, so working is like his medicine to keep his mind off of the things that bother him from his past experiences. If that's what helps, then I think it's great, but he's never willing to take a day off unless it's necessary. Sometimes I'd like to go out and do something or plan a vacation or maybe even catch a ball game, but he shows no interest in taking time off. We did take a trip to Florida last year, but it took me 2 years to talk him into it. It shouldn't be so hard to do things like that, but I'm sure he's probably set in his ways. My question is, what do you guys think of this? Super nice guy that genuinely loves me, and I love him just as much, if not more. He's planning a future with me, but there seems to be some complications. I've spoken to him about both issues, and I think his mind is set. I could easily be okay with all of it, and I have been, or we wouldn't have made it thus far. Am I being fair to myself?
Scout, what do you think?
You go first because I got a lot of opinions about this.
I want to know you first.
You go.
You. I'm on Talk Scary to Me. By the way, say hi.
Hi. this is what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Lots of fears in that, by the way. Lots of fears.
My gut tells me that he's not getting a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's not really working. He's home with his family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
And that he was able to finally get away after 2 years because he could finally come up with a lie that his wife would believe. It doesn't matter if he loves you and you're his woman. He would scream it from the fucking rooftops.
Yes.
And he
There's
should.
There's no secrets.
No
if,
secrets.
If you're his person, there would be no secrets.
He's only telling you. He's afraid of what other people are going to think because the papers, it's all a bunch of fucking bullshit. Thank you.
Yes. Which is sad to say. I mean, it's sad to be that blunt.
But that's what's going on.
I mean, that has to be. There's no fucking excuses.
COVID, bullshit. Have you ever been, here's a question. Do you go to his house? Does she go to his house?
Yeah.
Do you go to his house and spend the nights at his house and hang out at his house? What does your relationship look like? Is he only coming to your house? Mm-hmm. Are you only meeting out places?
That's a big red flag.
If you are going to his house and you're spending the night and there's toothbrushes there and you've got your shit there, then I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Then he is separated. If he was going through a divorce, they would not be living together. He'd be fucking out in an apartment and you should be there all the time. He could also have an apartment without him knowing.
Sorry, she didn't say that they had kids, right? There's no, like, no kids and all
she
that stuff.
She didn't say anything. Okay. She just said he's been going through a divorce for COVID because of COVID. I'm sorry.
How long does it take to get a divorce?
I mean, it does take a long time, I think.
Yeah, but then you don't need to be like keep your girlfriend hidden.
No, like, it has nothing to do. Like, well, maybe he's afraid the ex-wife or the wife will come after him harder if she knows that this woman exists, mm-hmm. which I'm sure would be motivation for her to come after him. But I feel like she's a side piece married and I'm a workaholic and all this other stuff is complete bullshit unless you are spending an enormous amount of time at his home. Mm-hmm. If you're at his home or his apartment or whatever and you guys are acting like a couple and you're doing things like a couple, then great.
Also demand what you need.
Yeah.
Are you willing to wait another two years and live with all these excuses that he's giving you?
And lawyers work fine over email.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a
COVID or not.
Oh, yeah.
Lawyers work. You're not like having a mediation. You can fucking mediate on Zoom.
Yeah.
Be done with it. Like, yes, it takes a long time. Yes, it takes a couple of years. But this, and you know what? Your mommy's right.
Yeah.
Your mommy's right.
Yeah.
Listen to your mama. Your uh-huh. mommy is right. Your mom knows something is not right. And she's right. Until she sees those fucking papers in his hand, mm-hmm. he is not divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So, girlfriend, wish him well. Tell him to come back to you when he's divorced.
Yes.
And you go on about your life and about your day and
preach
you take care
it,
of
girl.
Yourself.
Preach it.
You take care of yourself and you tell him that you are not a secret anymore. You don't deserve to be a secret. And let him go handle his business. And when he's ready to shout your name from the fucking rooftops, then he gets to come back. Until then, fuck off. That's it.
Ditto. Ditto what she said, darling.
This has like red flags. And I
but
know when
so
you're in
crazy.
Love.
But it's so crazy when you're in
like,
love. You
happens.
You literally, I was just talking to my girlfriend and she was telling me about her relationship and the amount of fucking red flags that she was saying. I was just like, babe, the fact that you can't see these red flags means you need to do work on
you.
Yourself.
Yeah.
You've got to be single for a long ass fucking time until you are able to see what you are worth.
She knows. She knows.
But
you
she's
know.
Not listening to
she's
it.
Not
she's not listening,
listening
to it.
Gut,
then you need to do work on yourself. I've been in that relationship. I've been in those shoes where I ignored all the fucking red flags.
Yeah.
And now I'm 30 and when I would have liked to have a child in my 20s. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like you prevent yourself from getting what you deserve.
Yeah. Dude, I was almost 40.
Only when
because I was in fucking stupid relationships that I didn't get what I needed and I was ignoring all of the shit that I knew I needed in my life to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's okay, it's okay,
God,
it's okay,
it's
okay.
Sabotage. I just don't understand why us humans do that, why we will just... We'll sabotage ourselves.
But fuck this guy.
Yeah, that guy's a dick.
Fuck this guy for doing this to this young girl.
Yeah.
Because this is going to fuck her up.
Yeah.
For future relationships. Hopefully you take something from this and the it's not going to take much now for the next guy to sweep her off her feet because this guy's obviously not doing anything for her.
Yeah.
So next guy that comes in that just gives her a little bit of attention, she's going to be like, wow, there's someone that like actually wants to do something. 2 years to go away somewhere?
Oh yeah.
No. No.
How would you be okay with that? Yeah, 2 years.
No,
okay.
No. Honey, I wish you well. Tell him to fuck off and come back to you when he's divorced. But right now, that's not what's happening.
Yeah, and do some work on yourself, babe. Because you shouldn't let anyone take that long of a fucking time.
Well, they don't get to plan your life for you.
Yeah.
Like, you plan your life for you. You don't wait for them to make the decisions on what's going to happen with your future.
Somebody goes, poor rebound guy, though. That's also another advice.
What does that mean?
Don't go to a rebound. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah, no.
You know, don't get under someone to get over someone. We've been there, done that. We've done the experience for you. It's not going to work. It's not going to make you feel better.
No.
Yeah, goes
take
both
some
ways,
time off.
Guys or women.
Heal your heart because it sounds like you're in love. So you heal your heart and then you slowly start to get back into the dating scene and then you'll find someone that actually wants to be with you and cares about you and isn't pulling a bunch of bullshit out of their ass about their relationship.
Oh, yeah.
2 years only. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, okay. So I went live on our Talk Scary to Me podcast. Hi guys.
Hi guys.
I gotta get out of here because I gotta answer another question here. Bye everybody.
Okay, I'm gonna turn off mine too.
Okay.
Okay, look up your question.
Okay,
I'll be right back.
Okay, I got it.
Is that blunt enough?
No, that was great, honestly. But it is. It's there comes like it's something programmed in us that we will give such great advice to people, but then we'll take it. I don't understand why that doesn't register. And it takes a long time for it to register, but it just like, it aggravates me. And sometimes I get upset with myself too. I'm like, wow, I'm giving the greatest fucking advice, but I'm not like following it.
Yeah.
Okay. 21 male sex question. Need advice! Exclamation point. Hi, Scout and Danielle. I've been a huge fan of you guys for years and I love the podcast. I'm 21 years old and would like to remain anonymous. Okay. I'm so glad I did not see your name. I have been with my amazing girlfriend for almost 2 years now and I am absolutely in love with her. We have a pretty great relationship for the most part. The only area where we struggle sometimes is in our sex life. Fucking hallways, right? When we first started dating, I had been single for quite a while and not having sex. We started dating in May of 2020. So it was freshly during the pandemic. Holy shit, guy. That's when I started dating my guy. And during quarantine, like a lot of people, I was masturbating and watching porn quite frequently. When I started having sex constantly with my girlfriend, I struggled to keep an erection. This was so frustrating as I'm ridiculously attracted to my girlfriend and it had nothing to do with her and everything to do with me. While our sex life has gotten a lot better in the almost 2 years we've been dating and there have been many times where we do have a great successful sex, I still lose my erection from time to time and it is a total confidence killer. While she's understanding, I can imagine it is quite the confidence killer for her as well, and I feel terrible about it. I really don't understand why this is happening, but I've heard about a loss of erection being linked to porn use, and I was wondering if you guys have any advice and if you have ever been in this situation with a guy. Any advice is appreciated. Keep up the amazing work with the podcast. Well, snap.
I feel like I need to be a guy to answer this question. First of all,
well, with you, I guess put yourself in his shoes. Have you like, do you like, okay. When I use my vibrator too much and this has been in my relationship.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine if that was the case in this with like porn, it's like harder to get yourself off when you're actually with it,
with a real person
and you're doing that connection. For me anyways too. I recently had that issue.
I mean, he's so young and they've been together since he's 19. I think you're being a little hard on yourself too. I don't think that I'm assuming she's probably around the same age. She probably doesn't even really know, like it's not a big deal. Like it's not like, I don't know, men put a lot of pressure on themselves, you know? It's like everyone is gonna have some sort of sex issue. They just are. Whatever it is, there's gonna be something.
Yeah.
And you grow in your relationship and you figure it out, you know? I mean,
maybe you should be honest with your partner about it too.
Tell her.
So then she's not insecure about it with herself and thinking that she can't give you a fucking hard on that lasts.
That's really what it is you've gotta just be like, I don't know, babe.
Hey, this is what happened.
I fucking watched too much porn and so first of all, stop watching it and see if it gets any better. Mm-hmm. And have a conversation with her and make it super light. Don't make it a big deal. Like, I don't know what to do. But you can say, like, I feel like I've been thinking about it. And I feel like I'm worried that you think it's you. And I fucking love you. And I love our sex life. But I don't know what I'm getting in my head. And I'm no pun intended. And I'm trying to figure out how to, like, fix this. And then maybe just by talking about it, it'll take some of that pressure. And then you'll be able to make it happen.
Trust me. You know, like, I've had a lot of sex issues because of my past. And Tom was, like, the first guy that I've ever been, like, completely vulnerable and open with. Mm-hmm. And it's helped so much with me getting out of my head. Or at least then he knows
what
I'm going through. And then he can kind of, like, you know, do something to kind of try to get me out of my head or whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like being honest. I know it's scary, especially when it comes to sex. But that's why we fucking kind of created this podcast too. Yeah. So it's not so scary for you guys to like be able to talk to
it's
one another.
It's funny that our podcast is called Talk Scary to Me.
I know.
And we're like talking about don't be scared to tell us things sexually about you. It's kind of ironic.
Yeah,
you
it
know?
Is. It is. It is. Oh, I hope that helps. I really do.
Yeah, talk to her. Talk to her and just be chill about it. You know, you can be cool about it. You don't have to be all vulnerable and emotional about it. I mean, you can. It's probably hard to do that. So just say, like, I don't know what's going on, dude, but this is what's happening and it's not you. And I'm worried that you think it's you and we need to figure this out. Help. Yeah. Maybe she can help you and then see what happens.
Yeah. So the next question, pap smears and fingering. Anonymous. First off, I am in love with the podcast. I met both of you wonderful ladies in Nashville and was lucky enough to get a picture with you both. I am blown away by how wonderful you two have pulled off this
podcast.
Was it
the one person that came to that show in Nashville? Remember?
Now the person's going to be like, ah! And it's so interesting. Way better than any other podcast I've listened to.
Oh, thank you.
You two make me feel comfortable and I would be so blessed to have friends like you. Oh, you're a friend, you are a darling. Friend. So on to the question. I know this subject is kind of weird and maybe not completely about sex, but it is sex health related. And I feel like I'm completely alone when it comes to this. And I don't want to seek counseling because I don't even feel comfortable enough to talk to them about it. When it's time for a pap smear, I avoid them at all costs. And I feel like it's because of something traumatic that happened to me as a child. I get the same way when it comes to fingering, even when my guy wants to. I don't mind touching, but not inserting. I'm fine with sex, but something about pap smears and fingering just do not sit right with me and make me extremely uncomfortable. I can sometimes have flashbacks of things that maybe happened as a child, but often wonder if maybe I block them out because I can't remember fully what happened. Only the cringe feeling and rage I get when I think about pap smears or fingering. Mm. It feels like a violation. Do you have any advice for this? Ways to get past it? Do you ever feel or avoid things like this as well? Or does it make me just weird? I'm married and I know it's the healthy thing to have a pap smear, but I can't get over feeling the way I do about them. Thank you so much for reading my question. I love you both. You're both incredible actresses. Rob Zombie's Halloween is amazing. Halloween 4 and 5 were amazing. And Scout's new Lifetime movie is also amazing. Oh, thanks. P.S. On one of your podcasts, you mentioned wondering what it would be like to take a normal person and throw them in a role to see how they would take on a horror acting scene. I would 100% be a genuine pig for you guys. You can see what it'd be like. Love you both. I can't wait to watch more of your content. There are some amazing doctors out there. But really, the only ones that matter are the ones who actually take your insurance. With ZocDoc, you can focus on doctors who are in-network, putting you on the path to see the doctors who are right for you. No more wasting time hunting down Aunt Shirley's cash-only chiropractor or the dentist your coworker recommended who's out of your network. I use ZocDoc, and you should too. It's easy, painless, and easy to find quality doctors. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. Every month, millions of people use ZocDoc. And I'm one of them. Go to ZocDoc.com/scary and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/scary. ZocDoc.com/scary. Okay, so...
Speak on this because you have a history.
Babe, it is so common to block shit out because... I am a perfect example of that. I did that for years. I knew something had happened to me and I literally blocked it the fuck out.
Would you have like visions or things would come back to you?
Oh yes. So I remember I would count things.
Yeah, you're talking about count fans.
Like, I would count. I would count. Stuff, I would just count things whenever I got nervous, and I never knew what that was. And I know you were so terrified of going to talk to someone, but I promise you, that is what you need to do, because you cannot live like this.
You can't. Yeah, you can't heal.
I went and talked to somebody. It was really, really hard, and you might have to find like a woman or something that you, or maybe a recommendation from a friend that you know that person's really great or something, but you definitely have to do the work. You have to seek counseling.
What do you think about doing hypnotherapy?
I've done that once. It didn't help me, but I also don't think that I did it. I did it with a friend's mom that did it.
Oh yeah. No.
I would like to go do it. I'm about to go see someone that does breath work from my friend, Nikki. She highly recommended. This guy like sees fucking Brad Pitt, Tom Hanks, like every fucking person. And apparently when you go in, he can see your chakras and your trauma and where it's coming from and balance you the fuck out.
Yeah.
But I highly recommend go seek the help. And I know it's going to be hard, but I promise you it gets easier and you'll be able to, it's like having not so good vision, and it just slowly starts to become like visual.
And it'll get worse before it gets better.
Exactly.
But it will get better.
And it'll heal you, babe. It will heal you. I went through some trauma shit, and it really, like, things started, it was like a puzzle piece. It started, you know, coming together. And I'm the same way. I blocked it out, but I didn't know why those feelings like bothered me so much, and it affects your relationships. So if you are able to do that self-work on yourself, I promise you everything will just kind of balance itself out.
I had a girlfriend growing up that was molested by a few of her mother's boyfriends when she was very young, and she couldn't put a tampon in. I would have to go with her into the gynecologist's office and hold her hand while she had a pap smear because it was too traumatic for her.
Yeah.
But she could have sex no problem. I don't know. I don't know about the finger and like if that was a trigger for her, but it was anything other than a penis. She couldn't do it without like completely having a meltdown. It was too hard for her. So she got help.
She got help.
See? Yeah, to talk through it and work through it and be able to kind of move on from that and live a healthier life. But it took a really, really long time for her to get through it. But she came out on the other side.
That's great.
Yeah.
See, help, honestly, it's first getting through the door.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's the hardest part.
Trust me, once you show up, it's going to be fucking hard to not like enter those doors. It becomes like a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It really, really helps you
throughout
a lot of stuff. I hope that helps, babe. Honestly, I really do.
Yeah, we're sending
like
you love.
My heart goes out to you because I understand that feeling, and I promise you, you can do it. Okay, so marriage question.
Marriage question. Give it to me.
Huh. Okay, this is interesting.
That's not a good reaction, Scout.
Hello, ladies. I love the podcast. I'm a huge horror movie fan, but I love the gore and blood. But my wife says I'm sick in the head. I like Freddy, but she says I'm idolizing a child rapist.
Oh.
Am I wrong for loving the movies? Is there something wrong with me? Please help. By the way, we've been happily married for 16 years.
She's just giving you shit.
Yeah.
She's just giving you shit.
But some people, it actually does bother them.
Horror movies?
Yeah. Some people, they're like, well, how can you fucking like that? That person's like killing fucking people and stabbing them. How can you like idolize that, you know?
I don't know.
People actually like, you know, like really, really
get into it,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's like Star Wars. It's like fucking being a fan of Fast and the Furious. It's like being fan of Harry Potter. Like
they're not killing people.
Yeah.
Though.
I mean, they do. They kill people. They're the wands.
Oh.
They're like fucking like.
Do you know I never saw Harry Potter?
What?
But I'm going to start watching them with Carter.
What? How have you not?
I don't know. It just wasn't like, it just was like skip my eight. I don't know. I just was never into like fantasy, sci-fi.
We just finally binge watched, like watched them all again.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, they're so good. Do it with Carter.
I'm trying to get into Star Wars.
There's like new ones coming out.
I know. That's why I want to watch.
It's so funny because I feel like a lot of the kids don't like Star Wars now. Like the youngins, they just don't get it.
They think it's boring.
It's boring. Well, because everything's so like
story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a story.
Story.
Things are just blowing up in my face.
Yeah, they're like, I don't get it. Mom, this is boring.
Oh, man.
Give me YouTube. I can change it every 4 seconds into something else.
Those little baby brains
are
just being warped.
I know. So someone was actually asking about, I was going to do this on a live a couple weeks ago, but I just got caught up and didn't talk about it. But they were asking about Bruce Willis and Tony Scott. And so I did this movie called The Last Boy Scout with Bruce. Have you ever seen it?
No, I haven't.
You should. It's you would actually laugh.
Okay, so watch it.
I'm Bruce Willis's daughter, and I'm like trash mouth. Like I'm 13 and all of
you. Oh, you're young
and
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah. I call him an asshole and fuck you and like all these crazy.
It's What is it about?
It's about.
Sorry, I'm cold. Like, I'm fidgeting because I'm freezing.
He's a detective that gets kind of off the team that gets hired to protect Damon Wayans' girlfriend, who was played by Halle Berry.
Oh fuck yeah!
And she ends
slipped
up
that one. one in there.
It was like her first or second movie. I had billing before her. I was like, huh, I'll never forget that. I was like, I'm billed before Halle Berry. So sweet. So anyway, Tony Scott, you know, he's an amazing director. He passed away a few years ago from suicide. And unfortunately, and he was great. Anyway, so, but Bruce was interesting.
Yeah?
So I'll tell you about my audition process. So it was like me and one other... Me and one other girl, it was like the end, you know, it was Tony Scott and Jill Silver and like all these big studio execs in the room. And I was reading with Bruce, it was like her chemistry read. So I went into the room and, you know, we did our scene and where I'm calling him an asshole and fuck you and whatever. And
did you love that as a kid to have to curse in an audition?
You know, I had such a trash mouth in real life anyway that it was, I kind of like didn't even think that much about it. Like as an adult looking back, like, dude, I went into a room and auditioned for Bruce Willis. Like now, as an adult going, if I were to have that, I would be freaked out.
Yeah.
Totally fucking freaked out. But as a kid, you're like, oh, this would be fun. I don't have to go to school for 3 months. Like, you're like, cool. You know, I mean, I was...
3 months.
You know, back when it took 3 months.
Remember when movies were like that long?
I know. So I went in, I did the read with him. We read the scene and he was typical Bruce. And, you know, and at the end, Tony said to me, what's your relationship like with your dad?
Ooh.
And I was like, well, my dad's dead, but my stepdad. And they were like, what's your relationship like with your stepdad? And I was like, he's an asshole.
That's how you got the job.
Probably. It was one of the reasons. And then as I was walking out of the room, which my stepfather was an asshole, by the way. Mm-hmm. As I was walking out of the room, Bruce said to me, hey, kid, what's your favorite movie of mine?
What?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And my response was, which was the honest truth, and I wasn't even trying to be sassy, was I don't watch your movies. I like Moonlighting because I like Sybil Shepherd. And he was like, you are a little bitch.
Oh, shit.
But it was the truth. I watched Moonlighting like nonstop growing up.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really because of Bruce. It was because I loved Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah.
So he thought I was like sassy and like trying to be funny and really quick. And that's the character. But that was just me.
How was Bruce to work with on set?
You know, I don't remember him being around that much. Most of my stuff, it's funny because I remember I loved Damon Wayans and I loved Tony Scott. So most of my stuff is with Damon. But then when I rewatched the movie, I have a lot of stuff with Bruce.
Crazy.
But I don't remember...
Huh.
I don't remember much. I just remember the end of the movie. I remember he and I finally talking one-on-one where he was asking me about, like, if I have a boyfriend.
Mm.
But it was like we've been together for months at that time and we hadn't really had that conversation.
Yeah.
Remember he would, like, kind of, like fuck with me. Like, he would drive by in his golf cart and, like, throw, like, candy at me and, like,
oh my God.
Just kind of, like, pick on me a little bit, you know. But it was that typical, like, father-daughter sort of. You know, I mean, he was a little asshole-ish, but I don't know if that was like his character or that was the way he was or, you know, I don't know because we were like, all of our scenes together were us like fighting with each other.
So yeah, totally.
It's hard to
it's
to
like
be
how
like,
he was, you know, he's like, you're just one of his daughters.
Pretty much. I mean, Rumor came on set and she was like 4.
Mm.
I mean, Demi was there. Like, I mean, it was really interesting. That whole production was, I have fake braces. And I remember this funny story. So I wear braces in the movie, but I didn't have braces in real life. So Tony Scott drove me to the dentist to get these fake braces made that like this orthodontist that Tom Cruise used some bullshit.
Okay.
That's what I was told.
Okay.
So I went there, but they had to pull a tooth of mine to get these fake braces in. I know.
No, yeah, they can't do that shit.
So they pulled a tooth. Yeah. I don't know.
Your mom will them pull your tooth
they
out?
They pulled a tooth.
To fucking give you braces for a movie?
Yeah, it was like, there were like little, like imagine a retainer and then there were...
Where's the children laws? Like where do we start with the children laws?
Don't even get me started on that.
Oh my God.
So I had this like retainer, right? And then on the retainer wire were the brackets for where the braces go, you know, because that was what it looked like. So when you watch the movie and you hear it, I sometimes get a little bit of a lisp because I have the plate on my palate, like under, you know, up
and you
there.
You have a pulled tooth.
I have a pulled tooth,
sorry,
yes.
Can't get over that.
So the character was, I played Darian Helen Beck. So she was supposed to have headgear. So, yeah.
I would love to see you and headgear.
Well, they fit me with braces and headgear.
Wow.
And day one, I walk on set and I'm like full on wires, and I'm just like, whatever they need me to do, this is the character, you know. And Bruce takes one look at me and he goes, oh no.
No.
Oh no. No, no, my daughter's not gonna get that. Fuck, get that. That looks. Get that shit off.
Good.
Get it off.
Good.
She's. My daughter's not gonna look like that. And I was like, oh God, thank you, thank you. So I was like,
Bruce,
thank
I got
God.
My tooth pulled.
Oh my God. I mean, I kept the braces, but thank God they took that fucking headgear off. But yeah, she's supposed to have headgear in it. It was crazy. You have to watch. You and Tom need to watch it.
Oh my God, we're gonna watch it tonight.
It's like a football
we're watch
movie.
It. What's it called again?
The Last Boy Scout.
The Last Boy Scout. The Last
he's
Boy
like a,
Scout.
He's like a bum.
I can remember that.
He's like a bum detective that like he teams up with Damon Wayans to save the day, and then I get kidnapped
guys,
by the bad
everybody
guy.
Guys, everybody watch that tonight. Everybody watch that
Girl,
tonight.
Everybody's ever to see this
I know,
movie.
But watch it again. Like, come on, classics.
So good. You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it.
I had a chemistry read with Bruce as well.
You did.
Well, I know his daughters. Very well, and I love his daughters. But I had a reading with him, so I think he did a lot of like chemistry reads. He did a lot. I didn't know that he would be in the room, and it was one of those auditions where I was like not feeling well, and I was not prepared because I could not fucking do my lines. And I remember when I walked in and I saw him, and I was like,
oh my God.
No, I was like, no, this is supposed to be for casting. Oh. What?
Oh no!
And I totally fucking blew
you
it because I wasn't feeling well. I literally thought I was just gonna be casting, and I was like, fuck. I was like, whatever,
just do it.
But he was super fucking cool and sweet, and he was like, let's do the scenes over and over. And I was just like, I can't even see you right now. I don't think I ever told Rumor that, but I was like, I can't even. But he was really cool.
Yeah,
he was supposed to be in a movie that I did, and. Unfortunately, with the news that came out about Bruce,
yeah,
so fucking like I just like, I mean, honestly, prayers, like thoughts, everything go to him and his family on both sides. Honestly, like he's given us so many movies.
Oh my
you
God!
Know? I love Bruce. Are
yes.
you kidding me? So I mean, I don't know. Just
I hope he's
give.
Gonna be okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what? How much time do we have left?
Did you set your timer?
I did.
What's it say?
It says 30, but I started it late.
I think you guys are up 38.
Okay.
30. Okay, so let's do one more.
Do you
want
to do one more question?
One more. Okay. All right, darlings. Here we go. So I'm going to do a couple because you guys keep on sending in questions to our Instagram, and I want to get through all of them. Creepy experience at a horror convention, Danielle?
Oh, jeez. Why don't you tell your story about the dude that handed you the picture at that convention not too long ago when you're on stage?
Oh,
because that
well,
was...
I don't think that was I think that was like normal because we're just so used to people like handing us knives and stuff like that. But there was the guy that was dressed up as Michael Myers, and I don't think it's like weird. It just like no one's ever like walked up when we were doing a panel. He walked up as Michael Myers. And, you know, I was just like, oh, what is this Michael Myers doing? And he walked up and he just kneeled in front of us and then just didn't say anything. I think all of us were like,
what's
happening? And he reaches into his back pocket and he literally like the movie in Halloween when Tyler Mane pulls out the picture when I am holding Christina Klebe's dead body and he's holding a picture of young me and Dig. And he did that. He reenacted it. And I went forward and I grabbed the picture. But we were kind of saying, we were like, fuck, you just never know, man.
Listen, here's the skinny. Don't role play with us, please. I'm sorry. I'm just going to be straight out for you guys listening. It's not fun. It's scary. It may be fun for you, but it's very creepy when there's thousands of people and you guys have masks on and you're standing in a corner and you're breathing heavy and you're not talking and you're trying to play out some shit that's not real. Because I don't know. It's true. Like, I don't know if you're nuts, if you're just a Uber fan, if this is fun. Or if I need to go get the police or shoot you.
I guess I didn't get that freaked out, but then when you said it to me, I was like, oh yeah, I guess I could have turned wrong.
I mean,
if
someone's reaching
happened.
Into their back pocket.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's
I know,
it's,
but we're used to at cons. Like we get like literally, we get knives. Like people bring out fucking gigantic knives and place them like 8 knives on my table to sign knives. It's like it's just like. But think of it from our perspective. It is kind of terrifying sometimes.
Terrifying.
And also, you know, you hear about people that fucking get like, you know, what about that one girl? That's why I have a bulletproof vest
and have
security. Do you wear that?
I have a bulletproof vest.
Oh, but do you wear that a lot?
Often.
Okay.
Which is horrible that that even has to happen.
Yeah.
But that's the reality of it sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, and unless we're at a convention center where people are going through a metal detector. Otherwise, I have security that is armed, that is with me, mm-hmm. or I am protected because you just don't fucking know.
Yeah.
So I don't want to feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I really don't. So I'm sorry if people are like offended by me saying that I don't think it's cool that we're role playing. Like if you want to talk about movies all day long, cool, be you. Or you come up as you without a mask on and let's chat. And then you're like, then you can go off in the corner with your Michael Myers mask. And you can breathe heavy and you get whatever you need out of your system. That's fine. But I don't want to be a part of it if I'm not in on the game.
Yeah.
If I don't know what's going on, but there's been someone standing there for 20 minutes staring at me, I can feel it. And it feels really unsafe and uncomfortable.
Yeah, I know. It's also like a cool girl syndrome. We've gotten so, at least for me, we've gotten so used to just kind of like smiling through it and like everything's fine. And like,
it's true, but it's not, you know, it's like we'll have those conversations of like, that was really weird. And we don't also like, that's the kind of shit that will get you kicked out. At mm-hmm. some point, if I am scared enough or feel uncomfortable and don't know what's going on, I will go, and I've only done it one time, I will go tell someone and that person will get booted. And I don't want to have to kick somebody out, but I just want to know what's going on.
Yeah, I've kicked one person out. There was a young gentleman who thought that we were in a relationship because this is why I stopped. Like, I used to like heart every fucking DM that came in just so they knew that I opened it. I read it and I just wanted them to like fans to like know, which I do. I look at a lot of the messages.
Everything. Yeah.
And this guy thought that we were in a relationship because I hearted kept hearting some of the stuff that he would say. And he eventually created this massive, like, he would record a video for me every night on YouTube. And I had no idea this was happening.
Right.
And it was like a year or a long time. And then once I started to like get wind of it, I was like, it would be like, good night, Scal, like, good morning. Like, it would just be weird things. And then he wrote a book about our love. And I was like, well, this is fucking crazy that you think that we're in a relationship. Also, I don't know, like, what do I do? What do I do to, like, stop this person from doing this? And he went so much where he was, like, sliding into my friend's direct messages and being like, you know, Scout's not posting about me anymore. So everything that I posted, he thought was for him.
Right.
You know, there was just something that just wasn't.
People are not well.
And yeah, there was just something.
I can't decipher between the two.
Yeah, and what do? You have to just stay silent. There's like nothing that you can do. And finally, I guess one of my friends wrote to him, was like, hey, man, like, she doesn't know who you are at all. Yeah. Like, this is starting to freak her out and scare her.
But that stirs the pot, too.
I know.
You guys can't do that. As much as you, as fans, and I've been through this, and I'm going through this now, as much as you guys want to, like, start a mob and go after people that write crazy shit about us, just don't.
Yeah, it just feeds it.
It feeds it. It brings attention to them. Mm-hmm. They get what they want. I would rather you bring it to my attention. Mm-hmm. Send me a private message. Hey, this person's writing this about you or whatever. And there are people that are listening to this that know who I'm talking about that do that for me. And that's awesome. But don't go after them and start talking shit because it makes it really bad for us.
Oh, yeah. So this guy eventually, this is when I started like not marking where I was, because like your phone Instagram can track where you've been and people can see that shit. So he flew into Los Angeles and he started messaging me and telling me that he was here and that he was going to go to some of the spots that I went to. And I literally stayed in my fucking house that whole weekend and then didn't hear anything about him. And then a year later I was at a con. And you know that, like, you know what this man looked, you know what I'm saying? Like, when someone does that kind of stuff, you know what they look like.
Of course.
And I remember I was standing there and I was just talking to a fan and I clocked him.
Yeah.
I clocked him walking in and he came to my table. Everybody left and he was just the only person standing in front of me. And luckily Tyler was right there.
Yeah.
My whole body was shaking because I didn't know if this guy was mad at me. Like, I just didn't know what headspace this man was in. The first thing he says to me is, do you know who I am?
Mm. Oh, God.
My heart was pounding, man. And I was like, no. I don't know who you are. And he was just like, you don't know who I am? And I was like, no. I was like, but I got to step away for a second. I just fucking ran to Tyler. Yeah. I ran to Tyler and I was just like, it was like kind of like how I felt when I saw you like bleeding, you know, in H2. It's like the same feeling when I went to Tyler. Right. I was just like, Tyler, I was like, I need you just to get this kid away from me.
Yeah.
And he pulled me in the back room and I told him what happened and they escorted him out. Yeah. And his dad was waiting in the car. This was a young kid.
Yeah.
His dad was waiting in the car. Like literally his dad, he made his dad believe that we were in a relationship of some sort.
I've been like, there, girl.
It's like crazy. It's nuts.
I have. You don't understand.
Unless
as
I
the
tell
parent.
You, I'm in a relationship with you.
Yeah, I'm not in a relationship. Oh,
we do. It's not.
It's not. Yeah. So, and people have asked like convention etiquette and stuff like that. Yeah. It's not. It's you got to put yourself in our shoes. You mm-hmm. know. It's we don't know if you, like you're cool or not.
Yeah.
If we've never had a conversation.
Yeah, that's the thing is we just don't know.
They don't know
because we've been approached by so many people that are. You know, they've given us a different experience, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, 99% of the time, it's super cool. And then there's that 1% that you just don't know. And I don't ever want to be the person to kick someone out because I don't know what's going on in their head. But I don't also want to be so cool that I'm risking myself safety. By not saying something. So I'd almost rather say something and suffer the backlash and, you know, and have security and just protect ourselves. And, you know, there's a lot of crazy shit going on in the world.
Yeah,
so
there is.
I just, you know, we always have each other. And thank God we always sit next to our big guys.
So let's talk scary, eh?
Let's talk scary.
Let's talk scarier.
That's going to be the next podcast.
Yeah, you know?
It's a sequel.
Oh my God, the movie. Let's talk scary. That was so funny. Somebody was like, are you guys going to reunite in a movie? What kind of genre would you guys want to do?
Duh.
But I think we should do a comedy.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, my
Our
God.
Our comedy,
be
like a bridesmaid.
It's
like
going to be like Romy and Michelle all over again.
Thelma and Louise.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Daniel, what is your opinion on parole for a murder?
Oh, God.
What's your opinion on parole?
Okay,
for
so,
someone who
so,
murders someone?
I don't think there should be.
Okay.
But I was reading this thing not too long ago about this couple guys that have been in jail since the 70s because they hijacked and kidnapped a bus full of children and the bus driver, and they loaded the bus they basically buried them alive underground.
Oh, I just read this. I read this on Daily Mail.
Yeah, me too. They buried them alive, and they're up for parole.
Yes.
Or they're getting out.
And you think that's okay?
They meant to kill these kids. They were holding them for ransom.
Okay. I didn't read the whole thing.
And
okay.
He's like 70 now, and they were like, they've been in there for like 50 years or something. They didn't kill him. They ended up, but they dug themselves out. So
crazy.
It's not like he let them out. Like he fucking buried them alive and asked for ransom with again.
And
with
was
friends.
It gonna tell them that that's where they were? Well, obviously you don't know. You don't know. They found them. They found it.
They dug themselves out, the bus driver and all these kids. But obviously all these kids are adults now and they're fucking traumatized from being buried alive. So, you know, I don't know. Can people change? I don't know if there's – I mean, listen, there are a lot of people that I think it just depends. For murder, I don't know. It's like – I mean, what if something happened to one of my kids and I killed somebody?
Well, here you go. Okay, so a picture came up on my phone. I think I was on Instagram, and it said that this guy was being released from prison, and he was this little. But the picture, they said guy, like an older guy. And then the picture was a little.
Oh yeah, the redhead. That beat the child.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is the case.
Yeah.
So Eric
Smith. The
parents
don't want him.
Yes.
Want him out. Yeah.
So Eric Smith recently in February of this year was granted parole and released from prison.
Yeah, I. This is a hard one.
I know. That's why I wanted input. I just wanted input because I just didn't know how I felt. I didn't know how I felt about this fucking guy being released. I honestly.
I mean, he was a child. He was like 10.
Okay.
But he was fucked
up. So, first of all, let me tell you about Derek Robbie, the little boy.
I know.
The little boy.
He's 4 years old.
Derek was a 4-year-old child who lived in the village of Savona, just off State Route 17 outside of Queens. His parents are Dale and Doreen Robbie, who still live in the area. Derek was a wonderful child, according to his mother, the oldest of two kids. And he often enjoyed taking part in t-ball at a nearby park. Very spunky little boy. Everyone in this small town knew Derek because of his big personality. And so once I found this picture. Like I don't know why the little boy looks so, like, it reminded me of Dag, like in Halloween. It like literally instantly, like when you look at a kid.
Thick glasses.
Yeah, when you look at a kid and you're just like, ooh, like I got psycho. Chills. Yeah, I got everything. Too. So I watched a YouTube like part, like 48 hour kind of thing on him. So Eric Smith is now 42. Mm-hmm. He was only 13 at the time of Derek's death and also lived in the town Smith grew up in an abusive home environment and was bullied by classmates for his ears, his glasses, being short, his red hair, pretty much all of those. According to a testimony that he gave before the State Board of Parole, Smith admitted much later to unresolved anger issues that stemmed from years of mistreatment. This is where, like, I feel like a lot of kids, like, with bullying and stuff, like, it's triggering.
Yeah.
You know?
But you don't go fucking kill somebody.
No, you don't go fucking kill someone.
Yeah.
Like.
And he also said, like, he wanted to see what it felt like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the killing. Derek was walking. So,
for someone else, to see someone else hurt.
Yes, to see someone else hurt.
Yeah.
Because he had gone through so much hurt and so much bullying and all this stuff. So his mom. I mean, he's a four-year-old. The park was like a block away. Like you could literally like watch him go down and you get to the park. So his younger brother was like throwing a tantrum. So I'm just imagining Jagger throwing a tantrum. Carter, okay, you're going to go down the block to the, you know, your whatever. And this kid clocked him, saw him, and he was already, apparently he said he was already in a bad mood.
He wanted to show him a shortcut, right?
Yeah. So he went up to the kid and he was already filled with rage. Something had happened to him at his house and he just wanted to see, in his words, he wanted to see someone hurt that wasn't him. Like he didn't feel like it was fair that he always hurt. And he looked at this little boy, blonde hair, cute kid, is never going to be like him and he's going to live like a perfect life in his mind is what he saw. So he... This is August 12th. he dragged him. He like talked him to taking a shortcut to the park and he beat him. First, he strangled him. Then he beat him. And in the YouTube bit, the size of rock that he dug up was like massive. And he beat him over the head with this. This four-year-old child, I feel like, and then he sexually abused him with a stick.
Right.
I feel like he made that choice. He made that fucking choice. That kid knew what he was going to do.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're fucking 13 or if you're fucking four. You're making a choice to end someone's life and you strangle them. They're already dead.
Yeah.
You they're dead. So why get a rock and fucking beat their head in and then play with their body?
He's a child.
I don't care. I don't care if you're a kid, if you're an adult. Like that is like
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it because I feel like these are children. Like I don't know what happened. Like that's always like the way where the defense goes is like but this happened to them when they were a child and this happened to them and this happened to them to like lesser their sense.
Yeah, he came from an abusive home.
So
I came from a fucking abusive home.
Yeah, most people do come.
I'm not fucking beating someone's like head in with a fucking rock. You know what I'm saying?
Only in the movies.
Yeah, okay. Actually, sorry I have. I've killed people many ways.
Yeah.
Oh, so apparently I got that out of my system. But you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, okay, so the town thought that they were searching for a grown up, an adult.
Yeah.
And
he started asking questions about
so
it, right?
So he went in to the authorities and fucking happy-go-lucky kid, he went in and said that he could help.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to help.
Because he thought he saw him or
something? Yes. So then he said that I saw him. And something didn't add up with the time and where he saw him. So they actually had him go reenact, and there's footage of this.
Mm-hmm.
They had him go reenact exactly like where he was riding his bike, where he saw the kid. And it just didn't add up. Like the distance of where he saw the young boy, he could make out exactly what color shirt he was wearing, what the design
and
was.
It like stuff that they hadn't released on the news or something.
No, there was they didn't say any of that. Mm. But like his lunch bag or whatever, he was like very calm. He was like, "Oh yeah, the lunch bag was really cool. I thought it was a really cool lunch bag that he had, and like his shirt design. Like you couldn't from how far the kid was. He was saying there was no way that you would be able to make out that kind of stuff." But they had no idea that it was him. But his family, Eric Smith's family, knew that he was hiding something. Mm. They know their kid. They knew something wasn't adding up. They didn't think that he killed him, but they just thought, did you see the guy who killed him? Or did he talk to you and make you not, like, threaten you to not talk?
Right.
So they pestered him. They pestered him and they pestered him and they pestered him. And finally, a week later, he told his grandpa. He, like, told his grandpa that he did it, that he killed that little boy.
I don't know what I would do if in that position, if my child
being that mom, being the mom of the child that's dead, or being the mom of the child that fucking killed another kid.
I don't know. Neither. It's, I mean, 6-1, half dozen of the other. Yeah. You're fucked in both
and
sides.
And when you watch the videos, the parents never left the side of Eric. Like saying, I love you through the window. Like we're going to get you out of this. Like, you're going to be okay. Like, you know, like they stuck by his side.
I know the parents of the little boy don't want him released.
No. So Smith told the parole board he carried a lot of anger due to emotional and physical abuse he suffered at home and bullying. On the day that Derek was killed, Smith said he was already in a bad mood. Smith was tried as an adult and convicted of second-degree murder following a 1994 trial. He was sentenced to 9 years to life in prison and was housed in a juvenile facility until 2001. When he was transferred to state prison, primary in the Woodburn Correctional Facility, his first eligible for parole was the following year. Mm-hmm. So it was 2002. Smith was denied parole 10 times.
So why now?
So, well, I'll get to that. But do you know, like, after a parole, that they do like an interview? They do an interview with the guy. And in one of the years, I think it was like 2009, they asked him in the interview, they said, if you hadn't been caught, would you have killed someone else?
He said probably, right?
He said yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not probably. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So 1993 to 2009.
Yeah.
He's a fucking adult.
Right.
He's an adult. And imagine, like, the kid's parents, the little boy, you know, every year that letter. Yeah. And they said that every year that letter came in during Christmas time.
Oh, great.
That every 2 years they would get that this kid wanted up for parole. That they would have to fight him. They would have to fight that, like, please don't let this guy out. And they would send videos, home videos of their child.
Right.
And all this stuff. And, like, I'm getting emotional because it's just like, I could not imagine going through that.
No way.
You know?
No way.
So why did they release him?
I don't know.
Expressed deep regret for killing Derek, saying he became the bully that I dislike in my life and that Derek didn't deserve his fate. According to a transcript of the October hearing, Smith also told the board he learned much during his years in prison, including how to control his anger.
Oh, good.
And how to appreciate the value of a human life. Mm. Smith told the parole board he is engaged to be married to a woman.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I wonder what bitch fucking is going
to
marry this guy.
Yeah, who initially contacted him while she was studying to be a lawyer and was doing research on the juvenile justice system. Oh. He also said he is certified. He's, like, certified to be a carpentry, electrician, installation. Like, he's, like, now going to, he's, like, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get married. I want to have kids.
Oh, God.
He said, I want to have kids. So, but under his condition of parole, Smith can't leave New York State without permission, must have regular contact with his parole officer, and can't associate with others who are known to be engaged in legal activities, among other restrictions. I don't know how I feel about this guy being set off, like, being free. And they were also, like, the town was, I was fearful of him coming back to that small town because he said that he was going to go back and move with his mother who still lives in that town. And they, the prison, they kept them in there until they could find a suitable place for him far away from that town.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the thing is I'm concerned that in the prison system, they're not getting the mental health that they need.
Exactly.
The help that they need. To be better.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where their minds are when they come out, if they've done something like that.
Also, you've spent your whole life in the prison system?
It's a shock to the body. I mean, it's fucking like, he doesn't know.
Out,
no idea.
When you get out, it's
no idea. It's,
oh my God,
it's like flying cars. I mean, you're just like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Yeah. So imagine being in that state now.
Yeah.
I And I just
that's why a lot of prisoners go back.
Yeah.
Because it's safer. They don't know how to navigate this life.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was just tough to hear. But apparently his family, the little boy's family,
they don't want him out.
No, they finally said, they were like, you know, we've spent our whole life fighting to keep this guy in prison, and now we don't have to fight anymore.
We're just done.
Like, we can move on and heal from it.
Hmm.
I
would wake up every single day thinking about how this guy is out and my child is dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now the fact that, like, when he was like, now I want to have kids, I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like, you took a baby's life, you know, when you were a baby. And years and years later, you were asked about it and you were like, I would kill someone again. And then now you're suddenly fixed.
And going back to the home where he says he was abused
in, yeah.
That made him like,
yeah.
This? Yeah, okay.
Like, there's just so much that's like...
They just don't want to pay for him to be in the system anymore.
No, they don't.
They're just like, we're done.
Well, he's out. It's February, he's out, and he lives in Queens, so...
Great. I will not be going there.
There's that.
I don't know. I don't understand all of this. I don't know how some murderers are allowed out, some murderers are not allowed out. I don't know how the system works. All I know is the system is fucked up.
Seriously. Completely fucked up.
It is...
Completely fucked up.
And I would have a hard time not killing someone if they hurt my family.
Oh yeah,
I would have no problem going to jail if someone did something to my family. That's it.
Yeah, same here.
I'm gonna fucking kill them.
I gotta tell you guys a story. Next week, remind me. Timothy White and Stephen Stainer, I believe is his name. I gotta tell you the story. It's not a murder story, but it's a fucking nutter. But I also do want to start. Is nutter going to be a word? I also do want to start bringing up missing people.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
So
we'll do that.
So, guys, if there's anybody that like you guys need, there's a couple of people I was going to mention on here, but she was found. So if there's any sort of thing that needs like attention or anything like that, like
we'll talk about it. Send it our
way and we will fucking share that shit and get that out there and that word out there. Thanks for listening to this episode of Talk Scary to Me. Please remember to like and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Talk Scary to Me Podcast or our individuals at Horror Gal and Under the Sea Scout. Also, if you want to see videos, please follow us at Patreon Talk Scary to Me. Don't forget to submit those questions, podcast@talkscarytome.com.